I want to bring up the subject of prayer today, if I may, and I hope and pray, as we preach about prayer, that it will be the key and the solution to many of the problems that people are facing today. For instance, the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 14, and you need to really get this scripture and underscore it in your Bible, and because it is such a dynamic key to the problems of the whole world, to the problems of every individual, to the problems of the nations that we live in. And if you remember the words of Jesus when he was speaking to his disciples and the conditions of the world and the circumstances and the situations that arise in their lives, he put the blame where it belonged, on the church. He said to them one day, he said, "You, my people, my followers, my disciples, you are the salt of the earth. You are the preservative power. You are the electricity. You are the source of strength for humanity." He said, "I want to say this much to you. If the salt has lost its savor, it's lost its freshness, its potency, it's good for nothing. It has no other value. All you do is throw it to the ground and they trot it underfoot." And he's simply saying to the church that if you've lost your purpose for being church, if you've lost your power, if you've lost the vision, if you have let down, you're good for nothing. There's no other reason for you to be a church if you're not going to be exalting Jesus Christ and proclaiming the works of God. Jesus said in another place, "Let your light so shine before men," talking to the church, "let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So we find here in 2 Chronicles 7, 14, God said, "If my people, my church, my saints, my Israelites, my chosen ones, if my people were called by my name," and by the way, how long has it been since you understood that the church is called Christian, called by his name? Go by. We try to put other tags on it, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Episcopalian, but my friend, if you're a Bible believer, washed in the blood, believing on Jesus Christ, you're a Christian. A Christian. And God said, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face," here's the key, "and pray." You see, the next statement says, "and turn from their wicked ways." You see, as men begin to pray, as they begin to come into the, as David Wilkerson says, the awesome presence of God, as men begin to pray, they come face to face with their weaknesses. They come face to face with their inability to accomplish anything. Because as we come into the presence of God, we realize that without Him, Jesus made it very clear, without me, you can do nothing. So what is prayer? Prayer is that drawing near to God. Prayer is that honesty between God and man. Most men don't pray dishonest. Now, there are some who pray as hypocrites and they pray in the public place. That's why it's vital to pray in secret and to pray in private, because in that secret prayer, Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet where you can get honest with God and quit playing the hypocrite. And there you can bear your heart before God against your secret sins and repent. And he said, "He that heareth in secret will reward you openly." So we find here that the Bible tells us that as my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. Scriptures tell us in the New Testament that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 19, the people were having trouble. They had gone against God. And the Bible says in verse 18, Samuel called unto the Lord. The Lord sent thundering and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, verse 19 of 1 Samuel 12, "Pray for thy servant unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." Now here's a story where the Israelites who were being led by God, And God had put his personal representatives, the prophets, and the people were rebelling against the prophets and rebelling against the law and rebelling against the goodness of God, and they said, we want to be like the other nations. We want to be like other people. We don't want to have to be different. We want to lift up a man that we can look to. And God was angry, and trouble came to them. Israel started having trouble from the day they started having kings, the first king of all. And they began to realize, and they said, oh, Samuel, pray for us. Pray for us. For we have not only added to our sins, but even this wicked thing of seeking some other kind of a king when only God should be king. You know, men like that. They don't want God's way. Some of you out there today, you want to go to church, but you want to live your own life. You want to do what you want to do, and you know it's wrong. You just know it's wrong to love the world and to follow after the world, and it's going to cause you trouble. And many people write it, and they come and say, pray, pray for me. And I'll say, what did you do to get yourself in this kind of position? What did you do to get this kind of adversity pressing upon you? Oh, Brother Stern, I didn't do anything. Oh, my friends, listen to me. The Bible said, whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. Many of you, many of God's people today are seeking the things of the world. They're seeking the king, material blessings. And they had to cry out to Samuel, pray for thy servants. Pray for thy servants. Oh, may God help us. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, it says here, moreover, ask for me, Samuel, thank God for the man of God. Thank God for the man of God who stayed on good terms with God. Oh, so many of the men today are not staying on good terms with God. Yes, the Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Samuel was a righteous prophet, a righteous man. And so when the people said, pray for us, Samuel, pray for us, he says here in verse 23 of 1 Samuel chapter 12, moreover, ask for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. As I pray for you, I'm going to teach you the right way, he says. Only fear the Lord. Serve him in truth with all your hearts. For consider how great things he hath done for you. Oh, brother and sister, I'll pray for you today. But I teach you the ways of God. Pay your tithes. Pray daily. Read your Bible. Do the will of God. Separate yourself from the world. Walk before him in holiness and righteousness all the days of your life. Oh, hallelujah. And God will be pleased. And my friend, as we begin to pray, we will move into his presence. Move into his glorious, glorious glory. And the Bible says in his presence there are treasures, pleasures forevermore. Over here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11, we have another scripture that I'd like to read to you about prayer today. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Believe me, he says, they're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God says, my desire for you is to bless you. He said, beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and be in health, even if your soul prospers. Here he says through the prophet Isaiah or Jeremiah, speaking as a voice, peace of God. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, God says. I know what I think about you. I know how you're evil and how sinful you are, but my thoughts toward you, God says, are thoughts of peace. They're not of evil. I want to give you an expected end. I want you to understand what can be the results of my blessings on your life. Then shall you call upon me, he says. You should go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. If you only understand my will, my desire, and it's not to do you evil, it's not to bring you harm, it's to bring you salvation and healing and prosperity and deliverance. And if you understand that, then pray, and I will hearken. He says, and you shall seek me, and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. God says, all I want is you. I want your heart. I want you to give your life to me, and I will bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, you know, when Jesus was on the face of the earth, he was doing so many miraculous things, and he spent a great deal of time praying. Jesus would pray many, many times. And so the disciples would listen to him as he talked about prayer. Matthew 6 and verse 7, I think it is right here, 6 and 7, he says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, Now, this is the very reason, this particular verse and others, is the very reason for me preaching this sermon. He didn't say, pray to the Holy Mother. Hear me, my Catholic friends. Jesus, who was our example, never taught us to go into a closet or go somewhere and pray to the Mother. He never did. Listen to me now. Listen, get your Bible. Turn to it. Matthew 6, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, your heavenly Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Notice that? Jesus taught us to pray to the Father. Matthew 6 and verse 9, they said, Lord, teach us to pray and show us how to pray. And it says, after this manner, when you pray, Jesus said in another place, when you pray, pray after this manner, our Father. Do you hear that, my friend? He didn't tell you to pray to a man. He didn't even tell you to pray to Him. And all the folks are praying to Jesus. Oh, dear Jesus, help me. Jesus, my friend, is not the one to pray to. Jesus told you, ask the Father anything in my name, He will give it to you. But He never taught us to pray to Mary. He never taught us to pray to an apostle. He never taught us to pray to Jesus. He taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. So you see, my friend, we need to learn how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. And the Scripture said, enter into His courts with praise, our Father, which art in heaven. Not an earthly Father. Hallowed be Thy name. Holy, 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 we come into Thy presence with thanksgiving. And into Thy courts with praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You need to learn how to come into the presence of the Lord our God. You need to learn how to worship the King of Glory. Believe me, today the prayer is the vital link. It's like breath in a man's lungs. It's like the beat in a heart. It's like the blood flowing in your vein. Without prayer, there's no life. Without prayer, there is no breath. Without prayer, there is no beat. Hear me, my friend. When you pray, Jesus says, when you pray, enter into your closet. When you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites. When you pray, pray our Father. When you pray, talk to the Father and do it in my name. Ask the Father in my name. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, we find where Jesus took time to pray. And now, he was God, and He didn't pray to Himself. He took time to pray. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, it reads like this, and when He had sent the multitude away, He went up in a mountain apart to pray. Jesus prayed. He prayed to the Father. He said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, Father, notice, my friend, He didn't say Mother. He didn't say Brother. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. When He hung on the cross, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus prayed the Father. He also said one place, I will pray the Father. Talking about the other comforter. He said, I go away. But if I go away, I will pray to my Father and your Father. And He will send you another comforter. So prayer, my friend, is very important. Very important to the day in the Christian life in which you now live. Prayer. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 24, we find another scripture that has to do with prayer. Let me get it for you here. And I say unto you, let me get it for you. Excuse me, that's Mark. I quoted the wrong scripture there. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire. Listen to this. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. See? Don't sit there with bitterness in your heart and anger and unconfessed sin and an unclean life. Forgive us this day our trespasses, he said, as we forgive those who trespass against us. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. You see, my friend, when you pray, he says, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, he says, ask the Father and believe it, and he will give it to us. Over here in Luke 18 and verse 1, they asked the question. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Let's look at it for a minute. Luke 11 and verse 1. In your Bible, turn with me now. Luke 11 verse 1. And these apostles, seeing the mighty works that Jesus done, seeing the glory of God, seeing the manifestation of the Spirit, they said, they came to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, he didn't say to pray, Holy Mary, Mother of God. He did not say that. My friend, Jesus did not tell us to pray to him, to his mother, to Peter, to John. He said, when you pray to the Father. He said, now the way to get access to the Father is through me. No man comes to the Father except by me. Ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. So, you see, my brothers and sisters, it is imperative for us to learn how to pray and what to pray for. Now, I'll get to that in just a moment. Over here in Luke 11 and verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. You will reap in due season if you faint not. Pray without ceasing. Keep a communication between you and the Father. Keep the channels open. If you've got sin, confess it. He'll forgive you. If you're sick, call out to him. He'll have mercy. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. My friend, you need to learn how to pray and what to pray for. Some people say, oh, I just pray for what I want or what I need. No. The Bible teaches us in Romans 8, verse 26. I want you to turn with me. Romans 8, verse 26. And let's look at this particular verse of Scripture. Romans 8, verse 26. And here's the way it reads now. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our inabilities, our human weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That means there is a right way and a wrong way to pray. Jesus said, don't pray like the hypocrites now, because they think they're going to be heard for their much speaking and for their pious position. He said, don't you do it like that. Come humbly to the throne of grace. The Bible said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, seeking mercy and help. That means we come with boldness on the Word of God, on the will of God, but seek the Lord humbly. Oh, have mercy. Jesus told us about two men who went into the temple to pray, and one said, Father, I thank you. I'm not like that man over there. He said, I fast twice a week, and I pay tithe of all that I earn. And the other man just smote his breast and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So the Bible says here, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. See, we just really don't know how to pray. But the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. It will make intercession for us. It may not be great fine words, but with groanings that cannot be uttered. He knows the heart of God. He knows the heart of you. And he deals with both of them, that Spirit, that working of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the presence of the Lord right now. Oh, I pray that God will bless you. The Apostle Paul writing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, this great man of prayer, this great man of adversity, he wrote over here in this book of Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, 17th verse, he says, pray without ceasing. It's remarkable how he put this little phrase right in the midst of of a stern exhortation. Verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophecies, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and if you do these things, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." And he says, and I pray to God, that your whole spirit, soul, body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of God may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Pray for us. The old songwriter said, "You pray for me, and I'll pray for you." I'm going to continue this sermon on the other side of this tape. We're going to talk a little bit more about prayer. Before I turn it over, though, as I'm sitting here in my prayer room, as I'm sitting here recording this, I don't even know who's going to receive this cassette and this message. But my spirit, the Spirit of God in my bosom, is feeling the need of someone right now saying, "Pray for me. I need your prayers. I can't go on without your prayers. And I want to pray for you. You're sick in body. You have sin in your heart, and bitterness have risen up, and you can't seem to get forgiveness for your friend, for those that's wronged you. Satan has overwhelmed you. Jesus said, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Let's pray right now. Before you hear the rest of this sermon, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, nobody here in this room but me, Lord, and you. You feel every corner. You feel the expanse of time. Here in this prayer room and right out there in my auditorium in the tabernacle are the requests that have come to me from all across America, from India, from Nigeria, from Trinidad, from South Africa, from Mexico, from China. We even heard from China, from New York, Boston, Baltimore, Chicago, Denver, St. Louis, New Orleans, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, Alabama, California. Oh, Father, I pray for my friends today. Like Job of old, I pray for my friends. I pray for those that despitefully use me. I pray for those today that are sick in body. Oh, I know what sickness is. I have felt it in my own body, the weariness of the flesh and the oppression of the spirit. But you have promised in thy word that if we would draw nigh to you, you would draw nigh to us. So we pause now to draw nigh to you. I come to you, Father, just as I am, without one plea. Only that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come, pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, like you did blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the lepers cried out, O Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make us clean. We need you today, Father. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on me. Forgive me for my failures and my sins and my shortcomings. And I pray for those that listen to this message on prayer, that their heart will be challenged and that the Spirit and the power of God will come right into their automobile, their hospital room, their prison cell, or even in their home, and fill their lives with the glory of God. I'm thinking of that scripture verse, Lord, when Father God, when Solomon dedicated the temple, it said, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the glory of the Lord came down. The fire of God came down. Hallelujah. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the presence of God was so dynamic. We come into thy awesome presence today. Help us, Lord. We pray for our children, our families, our husbands, wives, kinfolk, neighbors, friends, and enemies. Save us from ourselves, Lord, and deliver us from this wicked and evil generation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to minister to you. I want you to lift up your hands right there where you are. Do you have enough courage to do that? And praise His name. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. The Apostle Paul says, I pray always for you. Let me get that for you. And for this cause, he says over here, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. I believe that's what I'm looking for. The Apostle Paul is talking about prayer. You know, Paul said, I'm going to pray for you. Praise the Lord. I believe that's the wrong scripture I'm looking for right there. But Paul said, I pray always for you. Pray always for you. Pray that God will establish you. Pray that God will keep you. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Oh, my friend. Don't ever let nothing stop you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Here's where it reads, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you today that God would meet your need. And I want you to learn how to pray. Learn how to pray. Pray to the Father. Pray not to the Son. You know, one song says, pray to the Father, pray to the Son, pray to the Holy Ghost, three in one. No, my friend, that is not right. The Lord impressed me so much the other day as I was looking and thinking and meditating and reading on this subject. Don't pray to Jesus. Don't pray to His mother. Don't pray to apostle. Don't pray to the Holy Ghost. Pray to the Father. This is, you know, Christ came to bring us to the Father. The Holy Ghost came to bring us to God. No man cometh to the Father except the Spirit draw him. Pray to the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. And pray in the Spirit. And ask in Jesus' name. There you have the formula for powerful praying. And if my people will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven. If they call on me, I will answer. If they seek me, I hope you will make your life a life of prayer. We all need to pray. Pray without ceasing. I will pray always for you, wrote the Apostle Paul. God forbid that I cease to pray for you, wrote Samuel. If my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. God says, when you pray, I will hearken. When you pray, pray after this manner. Jesus taught us to pray. What we desire when you pray, believe that you have it. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. No, not what we ought to pray for. So let's move into the Spirit and pray in the Spirit. Pray for us, cried the apostle. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. The apostle Timothy was writing, or the evangelist Timothy was writing, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, and do it without wrath, without doubting. You see, you can't pray when you're angry. I've done that, haven't you? Haven't you got angry and prayed, and you know you prayed the wrong kind of prayer? You know you prayed and talked wrong to God. Aren't you glad He's merciful? My, sometimes when I think about how merciful God's been to me, I just rejoice in Him. Look over here in James, chapter 5, verse 13. Look at this. Talking about prayer. Talking about needs. Talking about receiving from God. Oh, hallelujah. Prayer is the key to heaven. Faith unlocks the door. James chapter 5, verse 13, it says over here, let me read, is any among you afflicted? Is he oppressed? Is he overwhelmed with these problems? Is he confused? Is he distraught? Is he discouraged? Let him pray. Pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Look at James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? You know, I talk on this all the time. Let him call for the elders of the church. Didn't say let him go to the hospital, go to the doctor, take medicine. Now that's what God's Word says. Now that's what God's Word says. If you're afflicted, pray. Get in communion with God. Cast all your cares on Him. He careth for you. Not a sparrow that falls to the ground that your heavenly Father does not see. How much better are you than a sparrow? Take no thought what you shall eat, what you shall wear. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. He will provide them. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. Any sick among you? Are you sick? Weary in body? Don't have an operation. Don't let the doctors cut your body apart, your temple of the Holy Ghost. Call for the elders of the church. Well, suppose I haven't got those kind of elders. Then come out from among them. Find a place where the power of God is believed in and the Word of God is acted upon. Let those elders pray over him that's sick. Pray over him. Pray over him. And anoint him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Their old Baptist pastor came by the other day. You know, these old Southern Baptists and fundamental Baptists, they just think they have the whole truth and they just fight speaking in tongues and praying for the sick. But the other day he came and one of his church members, a good, godly Christian person, had a child who had a bad valve in his heart, and the doctors were going to just cut this child's heart to try to have open heart surgery. And the pastor was heartbroken. And as he was praying for this child, God Himself by the Spirit caused his eyes to fall on this scripture that was there all along. It's there in your Bible, Baptist preacher. It's there in your Bible, Methodist. It's there in your Bible, Presbyterian. It's there in your Bible, Assembly of God, Church of God. It's there in your Bible. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. How do you pray? To the Father. Thy will be done. What is the will of the Father? To heal the sick. How do you know that? Well, the Bible says in the book of Acts that God, the Father, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. What did he do? Well, he went about doing good. Healing all that was oppressed of the devil. The Bible says in one place that he healed all that came to him. At evening time in Matthew, it says, they brought unto him the sick and afflicted and those that were possessed with devils, and as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. See? So it's the will of God to heal. John, 3 John says, I wish God, the Father says, beloved, I wish by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I wish above all things that you prosper, be in health, as your soul prospers. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says, let him pray, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Ask the Father anything in my name. Anoint with oil. The anointing oil represents the Holy Spirit. You take the anointing oil and you anoint someone with it, representing the Spirit that brings you to the Father. For no man can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. And you ask the Father in Jesus' name. And he said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Whatsoever you desire, when you pray and you pray in my name, he will give you. This is the same thing here. James chapter 5, verse 14. Let them pray over the sick, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And when they pray, when they pray the prayer of faith, not doubting. See? Men ought always to pray without wrath or doubting. That's a prayer of faith. Don't doubt. The prayer of faith, when you pray, shall save the sick, heal the sick. And the Lord, even the marginal rendered says that, shall heal the sick. And the Lord shall raise them up. And even if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. Elder, pastor, prophet, evangelist, you have the keys of power and anointing. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. He said, I give you the keys to the kingdom, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Why don't you bind that cancer, that sin? Oh, God, help us. Even as I'm talking to you, the Spirit of God says to me, do it more, Brother Stair. Do it more. Do it more. We're giving the devil too much room. Give no place to the devil. Bind him by the power of Jesus' name, by the authority of his name, in his precious blood. Rebuke the force of darkness. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. The little old Baptist preacher read that and went back to his church and said to his deacons, now look, I'm going to anoint this child. You fellows might get upset about it and you might fire me, but I'm going to anoint this child. And he prayed and anointed the child. And God healed it. Isn't that something? Did he do it for a Baptist man? No. Did he do it because he was a good man? No. He did it because the man obeyed the word of God. Any afflicted, let him pray. Any sick, call for the elders and let them pray. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Oh, my friends, prayer is so vital. That's why it is so difficult to do. Because Satan knows that when men pray, he knows that when men call upon God, that God tilts his ears towards man. He said, my ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, neither is my arm short that it cannot save. Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Over here in Genesis chapter, let me see, chapter 20 of Genesis, Abraham was having difficulty. He was journeying through a strange land. And needed some deliverance. And it says in Genesis chapter 20, verse 17, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his handmaiden and maidservants, and they bear children. Yes, my friend, God heard Abraham's prayer when he prayed. Abraham was a man of prayer, a man of intercession, a man of walking and talking with God. And when he prayed, God would listen to him because he was a man that God loved. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 2, if you turn, you'll find an incident here where Moses had to do some praying. And when he prayed again, God came on the scene. Oh, hallelujah. Numbers chapter 11, verse 2, and the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed, let's just go back to verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Yes, God doesn't like complainers, and we're all guilty of that, aren't we? And the Lord heard their complaint, and his anger was kindled. Now, some folks don't like to talk about the anger of God. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them, that they were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Oh, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And there they were, being destroyed by the wrath they had brought upon themselves by displeasing God and complaining about the thing that God had done. He'd done so many wonderful things, and they were complaining about it. And they were now feeling the wrath of God, and they cried out, Moses! Moses, you are the intercessor, the in-between man, the go-between, the type of Christ. And so then when Moses prayed, Numbers 11, verse 2, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched, stopped. How about it today, my friends? Is the fire of adversity, tribulation, persecution, necessity, physical infirmity, mental anguish, domestic quarreling, materialistic obsession? Are those fires raging in your bosom? Let us pray. Oh, my friend, when you learn how to pray, God will bring a deliverance. In Numbers 21, again, the people started to give God some trouble, and God began to punish them, and a fiery serpent was set amongst the people. And in verse 27 and 9 of verse of chapter 21, it says here, I want you to listen to it. It says here, therefore the people came to Moses again and said, we have sinned. Ah, that's a good way to come to God, believe it or not. The scriptures tell us if we confess our sins, God, I've failed you. I've doubted you. I've walked in my own way. Forgive me. Have mercy. If we learn to pray like that and be honest with God, He will be faithful and just to forgive us. The people said to Moses in the Numbers 21, verse 7, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. Listen to this next line. And Moses prayed for the people. Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Wasn't it Jesus that said, if, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, and even so must I be lifted up? Christ was lifted up on a pole. Serpent is a type of sin, a type of sickness, a type of the devil, a type of the world, and you're bitten by it, destroyed by it, but look to Calvary! Thank God forever! Look it on to Jesus. Look and live. Pray. Call upon Him. Lord, have mercy. Help me. If you learn how to do it, as many as looked upon that serpent lived. That looked upon that brazen serpent. They lived when they were bitten by that poisonous reptile, that sin that gnaws away at your soul, that sickness that destroys your body. Oh, praise the Lord. I feel the presence of God. You know, while I'm making this, we've been home for several days, and I just had this on my heart to come into my prayer room here and do this. And Satan has just been battling me and my body a little bit with a cold. But as I'm making this, I could just feel the presence of God. I don't deserve it. I know I don't. You don't either, but I'm praying while I'm preaching, and I'm preaching while I'm praying. The presence of God saturating this tape, going through this microphone, reaching into your heart, into your life. Pray. Pray. Oh, when you pray. I remember in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Let me read this about Hannah. Oh, yes. Chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, the house of God. And she, Hannah, was in bitterness of soul. She wanted a son. And she prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore. Oh God, she said, hear me. And she vowed a vow. Listen how she prays. She vowed. See, when you pray, sometimes it's good to make a vow. Make thy vow unto the Lord. But now don't make it and not keep it. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaiden, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thy handmaiden a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. She made a vow that if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And it came to pass. Verse 12, 1 Samuel chapter 1. And it came to pass. She continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. He saw her mouth just going. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul unto the Lord. I prayed, I cried, I poured out my soul. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hereto. I've just brought my sorrow, my burden, my need to God, and I poured it out before him. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, woman, the man of God, see, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. God had spoken to her through the servant of God, through his word. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house, to Ramon. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about that Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. I remember in New York some years ago, a family had been married 8 years, had no children. Came into the meeting, said, Brother Stair, pray. We'd like to have a child. And we prayed, and with this in a matter of 9 months and a half, she gave birth to a beautiful child. God does answer the prayer of a person who seeks God's will. When you pray, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 33, oh, the beautiful story of Elijah. Let me just read it for you. Little widow woman, she had sustained Elijah. She had gave him her last meal, so she thought, and her last oil. And even though her son was laying in there, not getting any food, worried about her son, she still obeyed the man of God. And the man of God provided, by the miraculous word of faith and prophecy, a barrel of meal and a cruse of oil that would last until God sent rain upon the earth. But then her son died anyhow. And the mother said, What good is the meal? What good is the oil? My son is dead. And she went and cried to the man of God. And verse 33 of the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Kings, it says here, and when 32, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon his bed. And Elisha went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and he prayed unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And he went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked to the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shumanite. So he called her, and when she was coming unto him, he said, take up thy son. He prayed. Elisha prayed. Daniel prayed. Moses prayed. Job prayed. Many of us know the story of Job, how he suffered, how he cried those great prayers, the Lord hath given them, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked I returned thither, I know my Redeemer liveth. He prayed all those kind of prayers, and it seemed like nothing happened. He got worse, lost his family, lost everything. But then But then, chapter 42 of the book of Job, verse 10, it says this, and the Lord turned the captivity, turned the adversity, turned the situation of Job when he prayed for his friends, those that were persecuting him, those that were criticizing him. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. When he prayed for it. Mind you, Job covered with boils, a pauper, getting by on very little. And there in his distress, there in his oppression, he prayed, God, be merciful to my friends. That's what Jesus did on Calvary when he was bleeding and dying. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, my friend, pray without ceasing. In the book of Daniel, my Lord, the stories that go on and on and on. In the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10. Let me read it for you. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. Daniel chapter 9 verse 4. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and I made my confession and said, O Lord, thy great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. And we have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces. And on he prayed. Daniel prayed. What a prayer here. What a prayer that came from the mouth of this prophet of God as he called out to God to spare his people. As he called out to God to deliver them. Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken. And do defer not for thine own sake. And verse 20, verse of chapter 9, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision of the beginning, being called to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked to me and said, Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. I am here now to solve your dilemma and to deliver thee. How about Samson? Standing there between those two posts, hair growing again, and he lifted up his head. He said, Lord God, remember me. Samson, avenge me. And there God restored Samson, forgave him for his sin, and anointed him one more time. How about you? You think God don't hear you? Has the devil made you believe that God's gone on a far journey? No, my friend. Pray. Acts 16, verse 9, Paul and Silas had been beaten for delivering a young woman with a demon. They had been thrust into the inner dungeon. Their backs were bleeding. Their feet were put in stocks and bonds, and they were in the cold, damp place. But at Acts 16, verse 9, it reads like this. And at midnight, hungry, bruised, beat, they prayed. And they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And God heard them. He shook the prison. He shook it, my friend. Yes, my brother and my sister, if you will learn how to pray, our Father, come to the Father, seek the Father, and do it in Jesus' name, you will find deliverance. You will find victory. You will find hope. You will find blessing. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one for another. And the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm about finished with this sermon. I could go on and on. How the people prayed for Peter when he was in prison. While they were praying, an angel came down, unlocked the prison door. You say, Brother Stair, those things don't happen today. God don't do those things today. Right here in South Carolina, a young man who, while he was young, on alcoholic and drugs, was being chased one night by a highway patrolman. He tried to escape. The patrolman ran him down, and the young man pulled a gun and shot and killed the highway patrolman, went to trial, was sentenced to die in the electric chair, sat on death row, and while he was there, in remorse, because Satan had bound him, destroyed him, and now was going to see that he got killed and probably take him to hell, he cried out to God, "Have mercy, forgive me, deliver me." He just wanted to be able to die in peace. If he had to die, God saved him. Then he sent another preacher in there to speak the word of faith and said, "Now God's going to get you out of this prison. Within 2 years, you'll be free." The young man was already sentenced to death, but somehow circumstances changed. A new trial was given, and he was set free. They found him not guilty by reason of self-defense. It was proven that the young man feared for his life because the policeman had pulled a gun on him. And the young man was free, and today he travels up and down the country and around the nation telling people that God loved him so much that even though he deserved to die, when he prayed, when he sought God, when he turned back to the Lord, God had mercy. Now you and I today are in not much better situation except God be with us. You and wherever you are today, I plead with you, pray. Take time now to pray. Right now. Tell the Lord what your problem is. Confess your sins. Forgive those that's wronged you. And seek ye the Lord. Turn ye, for why will you die? Come unto me, you that are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in. I will sup with him, and he with me. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. I urge you today in Jesus' name.